Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Hope Springs Eternal Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah. You ready?
Sure, read to me.
This is heart-rending.
Yeah?
Okay. An elderly-looking gentleman, looks to be in his mid-90s. He's very well-dressed, his hair is well-groomed, he's wearing a great-looking suit, flower in his lapel, smelling slightly of a great aftershave lotion, presenting a well-looked-after image. He walks into an upscale cocktail lounge. Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Seated at the bar is an elderly but good-looking older woman. Looks like she's in her mid-80s, maybe.
A young babe.
The gentleman walks over, sits alongside of her, orders a drink. He takes a sip. He turns to the woman and says, "So tell me, do I come here often?" Oh, man. That's me.
I love it.
Do I come here often?
Well, if you have a question about your car that we've been asked often, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. That's a good joke. Hello.
Hi, guys. This is Mary Lou calling from D.C.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, what's up?
Well, here's the deal. I drive a Volkswagen Jetta, and I have...
That's a chick car.
Well, that fits because I'm a chick. So far, we're on the same page. I bought it secondhand from a very nice couple about 3 or 4 months ago, and whenever I have the air conditioner on and I move the temperature gauge from the absolute coldest setting, if I move it anywhere up, not even into the, like, hot zone, but anywhere from the very, very coldest place you can put it,
yeah,
the car starts to smell like maple syrup.
Oh, does it really?
Really. And I hate maple syrup.
You do?
Blame
I do.
You.
I really do.
Well, here's what happened. This couple...
Don't go casting aspersions. They may not have really known about it.
No. They went. I'm telling you. I'm going to give you the whole layout, the whole scenario, and you're going to say
And you're going to be right too. That's why they sold
went
it.
To the early bird special at the Pancake House, and there weren't enough tables, so they decided to get the stuff and eat in the car.
Ah,
because everyone knows that you eat pancakes in the car,
right? Of course, and they brought the maple syrup with them
in those little containers that you have to rip off the foil.
Yeah.
And they must have set them on the dashboard, one of them tipped over.
Mary Lou, I thought he was going to tell you something.
I was thinking so,
legit,
too.
But I can't stop him. I've done my best to straighten him out. He's my little brother, but he's hopeless.
Well, please feel free to jump in anytime with a good answer.
All right.
My brother knows the answer.
I do know the answer. Your heater core is probably leaking antifreeze.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what you're smelling.
See, when you move that lever,
yep,
the way that you blend the AC and the heat determines the temperature, the ultimate temperature of what's coming out of the vents.
Uh-huh.
And the way they do it is you actually, instead of slowing the air conditioner down, it does a rather crude thing by mixing in hot air from the heater.
Mm-hmm.
But if the heater core is leaking, it's not only mixing in hot air, but vapor from the leaking heater core, which is antifreeze.
The way it mixes hot air is it sends hot a coolant from the engine into this little radiator that's underneath the dashboard.
But where does the maple syrup smell come
That's
in?
What the antifreeze smells like.
Oh.
Yeah, see, what I thought my brother was going to tell you was that when they discovered how much it was going to cost, this cute little couple that you thought was so sweet...
Don't tell me
...decided that they were going to sell the car instead of fixing it.
Oh, no.
So they waited until the summer...
They may not have known.
Well,
they had to have known.
There may be a silver lining here.
Okay.
Well, here.
I don't know about in Washington, but there's a silver lining here. This may be covered by warranty by the manufacturer, or it may be a recall. Some years ago, Volkswagen did have a problem with leaky heater cores.
Okay.
So you should take it to the Volkswagen dealer.
Uh-huh.
Tell them that you would like them to find out if there's a recall on these, and if nothing else, have them fix it and pay for it.
This has been surprisingly helpful. I thought you guys were just going to tell me, oh, someone spilled maple syrup in there.
Well, that's my brother.
I tried, but you wouldn't go for it.
Well, when I went to have the oil changed, I did actually ask them to, like, look and see, but he didn't see anything, and here's why. Because it wasn't that.
Because it wasn't that. Well,
it wasn't that, yeah.
I'm glad we were able to help somebody today.
Me too. Thanks a lot. This really was a big help.
See you, Mary Lou.
Bye. Thank
Hi.
You.
I guess we're done for the day.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
All right, not so fast, guys. This is Chris from Ann Arbor.
Oh, sorry. We already gave out the one answer that's going to be right.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing
Chris,
all right.
From where?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor. I know where that is. Yeah.
Okay, here's the story. I've got a 89 Toyota Camry, and I came to school in Ann Arbor, and I'm from the Bay Area in California. So I stored my car for about 2 years.
In California?
In California. And I just went out a couple weeks ago and picked it up and drove it back to Ann Arbor because I'm going to stick around town for a while. Mm-hmm. Well, by the time I got to the middle of nowhere, somewhere, Snow Fort, Nebraska or something, I filled up with gas and I went to start the car. And it didn't start right away. And I noticed that when I was accelerating, there was this kind of grinding sound that would be sort of on top of the sound of the engine. Well, I got the car running, I got it back here, but I'm still hearing that grinding sound. And it sounds something like a fan rubbing on top of the engine. And I don't know if that's enough information. I could demonstrate the sound
Do
for
it,
you.
Will you?
Okay. It's something like this.
Oh, it sounds like a coffee grinder.
And you hear that all the time?
No. You mostly hear it when you're sitting there. And if you accelerate before you put it in drive.
Oh, you mean rev it up?
Right. You rev it up, and you hear a little bit of grinding.
Why would you rev it up?
Tough.
Just to see if it's still running.
Right.
And
right.
So if you do rev it up, you hear this grrrr noise.
Right.
But if you put it in drive and just drive, you don't hear it.
I don't hear it.
Oh, really?
So don't do that anymore.
Well, I wonder, you know, is this something I should worry about? Am I, you know, wearing something down?
I wish I knew.
Yeah.
Let me think.
Oh, that's always dangerous. my brother does his best when he just does seat of the pants.
Do you have to give him some room when he does that?
Well, sometimes it just comes to you, you know?
Right.
And if you have to think about it, it's probably not worth thinking about.
Well, I think...
I leave the thinking to my brother. He's good at that. Like Butch Cassidy.
How about if you're in reverse?
You know, I haven't tried that.
So you hear it at idle, and you hear it...
Not at idle. He's got to rev it up a little.
No,
exactly.
No.
Exactly. It has to be revved up.
It has to be revved up. Yeah. Not at idle.
Really?
Yeah. When you pay attention, if you're going to think, at least pay attention.
Well, it just shows you how well I do without all the facts. No, I thought that you said you heard it at idle, but it remained if you revved it up.
No.
This is your last chance to change your story, Chris.
He said he doesn't hear it at idle. He's got to rev it up. And I asked him, why do you do that? And he said, to look tough.
Well, in that case, I'm going to change my answer. My original answer was, and this may still be good.
Give us two or three options.
I'm going to give you choices.
Yeah.
My original answer was that your torque converter on the transmission is hitting a thin piece of sheet metal, which is called the inspection cover.
Mm-hmm.
However, because you said to me that it doesn't make, you changed your story, you old good liar.
Didn't change the story.
And you said that it isn't making the noise when you're just sitting there at idle.
Uh-huh.
Then I think, in fact, that revving it up, you would not hear it because it's being drowned out by the road noise when you're in motion.
Right, that could be.
I think that. So the noise is there whether you rev it up in drive or neutral.
And you just don't hear it. See, I've thought about that. It's probably here. I just can't hear it now that I'm traveling.
Right, and I think you have any one of several things going on. One is you could have a loose timing belt. You could have a bad distributor. You could have a bad timing belt tensioner, which is, I'm going to guess... this car has 120,000 miles on it or so, right?
150, right.
150,000. I'm going to guess this car has 150,000 miles on it. So it could be any of those things, but it should be easy for someone to determine.
Okay.
With a stethoscope. And I don't think it has anything necessarily to do with your difficulty starting at that one time.
Uh-huh.
That's my position, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, of course you're sticking with it.
Well, they kept changing the story.
10 different things. But the nice part about the problem is that it doesn't when you're not moving.
Right.
So someone can just open the hood and tell you, okay, Chris, rev it up. And he'll just go around with his stethoscope or even a hunk of rubber hose, and he'll find it in 3 minutes.
All right.
Good luck, Chris.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Hold on now. We may have helped two people in a row.
No, I don't.
So let's cut it out.
No. I just knew Chris was going to be trouble. I wanted to get rid of him. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, boys.
Uh-oh.
Hi there. Who's this?
This is Kay in Dallas.
Kay in Dallas.
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a 93 Ford Explorer. Yeah. And this summer, when it was, you know, four kinds of hell, I jumped in Buford and started him up. And
Buford's the name of your truck?
Absolutely. Short for Beautiful Ford.
I love it.
That's good.
Thank you. And so I started him up, but in my haste, I popped the clutch and he died. And then when I turned the key again, there was nothing there, dead. So because I'm Southern, I got out and lifted the lid and looked, and there was corrosion on the battery. And my daddy told me whenever I saw that to pour a Coke on it to get the crap off. But I didn't have any Coke. And my neighbor came out and I said, she said, get a Coke. And I said, well, I don't have any. All I have is Dr. Pepper. And she said, that won't work. And I want to know if I can pour Dr. Pepper on the battery and it'll work like a Coke. Is there a secret?
You can pour anything you want on your battery, Kay.
Well, we had a big argument standing around the car, these four women. And we put Coke on everything down here, you know, hams, cakes. We really do, and so
you know it makes a heck of a hairspray.
It does.
No, geez, why did Daddy? Daddy's just comes from Daddy.
It comes from my daddy.
Did it ever work?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I mean, what makes it work is that Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and I believe Dr. Pepper have phosphoric acid in them.
Really?
And yeah, and the acid chews up that stuff. And
geez, I don't know, because that is what is that stuff?
The corrosion?
It's lead sulfate.
Oxide.
Lead oxide.
Oh.
Or lead sulfate.
So a Dr. Pepper will work?
It shouldn't work. No, it shouldn't work. Why would actually, the acid may dissolve the metal. We're getting into uncharted water here.
Fancy. We had a big discussion, these four girls standing around the car.
I do know, for example.
We should know.
No, we shouldn't. I do know, for example, that phosphoric acid is the main ingredient in a product called navel jelly.
Yeah.
And navel jelly, for those
I've
of you who
really
know.
I not really wanted to put that on my navel, but go ahead.
No, it's not that kind of navel. It's AL.
Oh, my bad.
And it's designed for removing rust.
Yeah. And Coca-Cola has the same thing.
Yeah, and it used to be that if you had rust on your bumper, you would pour Coca-Cola on it, and it would neutralize the rust. Now, why it works on a corroded battery, I don't know. It
foams like crazy.
It foams like crazy, but I'm not sure it does the job. What we've always used is baking soda.
Oh, pour baking soda on it instead?
Baking soda mixed with a little water. You make a paste, and you pour that on the terminal lens, and that foams like crazy. Ah. And cleans them up. I mean, that's like a home remedy. We don't use that at the shop.
Well, of course not. And, you know, I'm not an auto care professional like yourselves. And so I never thought.
We use Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
But did you get the truck started?
Well, yes. I had to, because I only had Dr. Pepper in the fridge,
yeah.
I had to call a garage. And they said you could have poured a Coke on it after they, you know, charged me $25 to jumpstart it.
Really?
Yeah.
What you really needed was to have the terminals removed and the battery posts cleaned. Somebody must have done that. That's why they charged you $25.
No, I just bought a new battery.
Oh, well, that would
do it, too.
You may have just needed a new battery, too. It may have been time.
Probably.
But I don't know about the Coke thing. We're going to have our staff chemist.
We have a
do
staff
really?
Chemist.
Yes,
of course. Would you ask him for me? Because I don't drink Coke anymore.
We'll have a full report in the coming weeks.
I'm so delighted.
And why don't you drink Coke anymore?
Well, I've got the Dr. Pepper monkey on my back.
You do.
I just can't help it. It's quite tasty.
Better than Coke, huh?
But you know what? Yankee Dr. Pepper doesn't taste like Southern Dr. Pepper.
Oh?
You mean Yankee.
Oh? Is there a conspiracy afoot?
I just don't think that possibly Yankees can't mix it properly.
Isn't it made with, like, prunes?
That is a urban legend. It is apparently nutmeg and all kinds of spices and stuff. There's supposedly no prune juice in it.
Are farm animals involved?
No, that's in Mr. Pibb.
Okay.
Well, Kay, you can pour Coke on anything you want, as far as we're concerned.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. And
see
I'll
you
keep
later.
Listening. Bye-bye, boys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She should be careful. If you're going to pour anything on it, you should only pour it at one end because you don't want it traversing the battery because then you'll short
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, just pour it on. You can't worry about it. Oh, boy. All right. It's time for us, after all that, to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler. You don't have to remember the puzzler, do you?
Are you kidding? I don't even remember who you are. Who are you anyway? And what did you do with my brother? Where's he?
Hey, well, it's funny you should ask that because the puzzler, oddly enough, has to do with you being lost in space.
Oh, my tether broke.
Oh, you can say that again. Well, I'll have all the details of last week's puzzler and the answer when we come back in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Well, me and this old Chevy, we've been around a while, yes, we have. Yeah, me and this old Chevy, we've been around a while. The older we get, the more we're out of style. And my head's like these old tires, it's getting slick and bald. Yes, sir. Yeah, my head's like these old tires, it's getting slick and bald. Just a few more revolutions, be nothing there at all. Got the odometer blues, the odometer blues, yes I do. The miles keep on a-rolling, no matter what I do.
And even though space aliens add us to their list of humanoids not to abduct whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, space, the final frontier.
Well, the space between your ears is... Anyway, here's the puzzler from last week. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, this is a little-known story, but some years ago, Tommy was chosen to be a NASA astronaut.
Yes.
Now, during his rigorous 3-hour training program, they discussed a stuck bolt that was preventing the deployment of a solar collector. So my brother decided to take matters into his own hands. He's that kind of guy, you know.
Helpful, proactive, all those things.
Reckless.
Yeah, reckless. Okay.
Anyway, while the other crew members slept, Tommy put on his spacesuit, opened the hatch, and with his official Car Talk toolkit in hand, he exited the spacecraft. Now, with skills honed from years of working on Renaults, MGs, Triumphs, Fiats, and Dodge Dartras, he managed to free the stuck bolt and by himself deployed the solar collector. And mysteriously managed to make it leak oil. Even though it didn't even contain oil. But that's another story for another day. Anyway, as he turned to retrieve his toolkit, he noticed it had drifted away a little bit.
Yeah.
He reached for it, but in the process launched himself and that cheap toolkit into the inky darkness of space.
Yeah, that was exciting.
And he realized at that moment that he had forgotten the all-important tether.
I knew I forgot something. I had my wallet, my keys, no tether.
Now, the distance between him and the safety of the hatch was slowly but undeniably increasing. He called for help, hoping that his shipmates could help, and they couldn't hear him. Why? They were all sleeping, or pretending to be sleeping. But in utter frustration and despair, Tommy did something that, by luck, saved his sorry butt.
How do you know it was luck and not genius?
Trust me, it was luck. Anyway, what did Tommy do to save himself?
Oh.
Yeah, what Tommy did was, now, don't forget, now, he and the cheap toolkit of drifting into space.
Yeah.
He takes the toolkit in frustration and throws it away.
Exactly.
And by throwing it away, he creates a force in the opposite direction that thrusts him
backwards.
Backwards.
Wow.
He misses the hatch by 2 inches, actually. And he's still out there. But that's exactly what he did. It's one of those laws, one of Newton's laws. We know it isn't the first law, although Tommy is an exemplar of the Newton's first law, which is a body at rest and to stay at rest. I believe this is Newton's third law of motion. Is it? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So the action of thrusting the toolkit into space created the reaction of the toolkit actually exerting a force on Tommy and thrusting him toward the hatch and safety.
You got
and it. He just went back in, took his spacesuit off, and went to sleep, and nobody ever knew the better. They didn't know who deployed the solar collector. It was true heroism.
Yes.
Do we have a winner?
We certainly do. Our winner this week is Linda Hosek from Crown Point, Indiana, and for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Linda is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get our new Distracted Driving T-shirt.
Is this a pro or con, this thing?
Con. We're against it.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it's a little hard to explain what's on this T-shirt, but on the back, it's a reading exercise that makes it quite evident that it's harder than you think to do two things at once.
Like be an idiot and chew gum.
Sure. It's actually easy to just show you the shirt. So if you're interested, Linda, you can see it at the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com.
And congratulations for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Now, we have a new Puzzler still to come, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll try to handle, or deflect, rather, your car questions. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kara from Denton, Utah.
Kara?
Kara.
C-A-R-A?
K-A-R-A.
K-A-R-A.
Yeah.
You say Kara or Kara?
Kara.
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 My kids always make fun of me because I say can't. I can't do that. And they say you're supposed to say can't.
You are.
Can't. They think I'm being pretentious.
Well, your mother's sister
can't.
Would be your what?
My aunt.
Aunt.
Oh, see,
that sounds rather pretentious, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And then they say to me, oh, do you eat potatoes or potatoes? I say, get lost. Well, I did grow up in an
aristocratic household.
Aristocratic household, yeah, exactly.
Where was I?
What's up, Kara? Kara.
Okay. I work for an outdoor company, and we have...
Outdoor?
Outdoor. Yeah, we do rafting trips and backpacking trips and things.
Oh.
Yeah, and so we have a fleet of trucks, big trucks.
Okay.
And the problem we have is they grind in second, and they pop out, and it seems like the older the truck, the worse the problem is.
Oh, they all have stick shifts?
Yeah, they're all stick.
It stands to reason that you all would get stick shifts.
What's that?
Why?
Because you fashion yourselves
because of the business
people.
They're in.
Yeah, because you consider manual transmissions closer to Mother Earth. Just an observation.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a wonder that you use trucks at all. I would think you use horses and
pack
wagons.
Horses.
Horses, right. Mules. Mules are good.
So I'm sorry. So they pop out of second gear.
They don't all pop out. They grind. And then it seems like the longer they have the problem, then they start popping out.
Then they start popping out.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
These vehicles, because of the way they're used, you're spending much more time in second gear than they were ever intended.
But we're not.
Well, you should.
I know what's going on.
Okay.
I
give up.
I know what's going on. Do you personally ever drive any of these vehicles?
Yes, of course.
I'm going to tell you how you drive it.
Okay.
You put your foot on the clutch, you put it into first gear. That's up, right? And you don't go far because it's probably geared very, very high.
Right.
And you throw it into second gear.
Right.
And you know you're going to be putting it into third gear pretty soon.
Right.
So you leave your hand on the stick. Am I with you?
Yeah.
Huh? And then when you come time to shift into third, you throw it into third, and you probably still leave your hand on the stick.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true?
True.
Then you did it.
You're responsible for all of them.
You're responsible for the whole fleet of trucks. And you may not be the only one who does it, but when you
When you throw it into second gear and you hold your hand on the the shift lever.
I don't, like, restrict its movement. I just rest my hand there.
Yeah!
You may think you're resting, but what you're doing is you're chewing up the synchro. Keeping your hand on the shift gear is a very bad habit to be in.
Okay.
And it happens to most people in second and in third gear because those are the gears that you know you ain't going to be in very long.
Okay. Do we need to get it fixed?
Oh, yeah, but this is...
No.
Well, you don't have to.
It costs too much.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, interestingly, the fix for it is keep your hand on the shifter and it won't pop out.
Yeah, we've even gone so far as to recommend bungee cords to hold it. I mean, you're lucky it isn't popping out a fifth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or overdrive. That would be a bummer. Then that would require a fix.
You told me not to rest my hand on him.
Yeah, well, but you probably do spend a lot of time in the lower gears, especially descending hills and whatever.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and that takes its toll. I mean, these modern transmissions are really designed, whether they're automatics or whatever, to be in high gear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing will suffer its worst punishment when you're making the thing stay in low gear, like descending long hills where the thing is in second or third gear for an extended period of time, and it just wears it out. That's why I'm going to recommend that future purchases for your outdoor group
forget it.
Consist of automatic transmission.
They won't do it.
They won't do it?
No.
Of course
I don't
not. These are tough outdoor people.
Yeah, they won't do it.
I mean, if you had like a Z3, would you recommend an automatic transmission? Of course not. The two things just don't go together.
No, but that's a whole different issue.
White water rafting and automatic transmission. The
next thing you know,
they would laugh at them.
Twinkies on the trips.
Exactly.
Okay, everyone gets two Twinkies.
Two Twinkies
dessert.
And a cup of tea. Come on.
God. All right. I give, Uncle. But you're going to have to rebuild these transmissions at some point because the pieces that are flying off these failed synchronizers are going to contaminate the fluid. I think if you wanted to do anything right now to help forestall the inevitable,
okay. You
could drain the transmission oil on all these vehicles and put in fresh stuff. And when you do that draining, chunks of stuff are going to come out.
So the ones that aren't popping out and just have a little grind right now, if we drain the transmission fluid and quit resting on them?
You might be all right.
We might be all right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Hey, guess what time it is?
Time to drain the extra virgin olive oil out of the Fiat?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we revisit a previous caller to see if the advice that we gave him or her was far off, far out, or,
for goodness sakes, who's our lucky contestant this week?
It's Ralph from Monroe, Louisiana, and do you remember Ralph?
Geez, you know, I should.
Me neither. Well, Ralph called us back in July because his dashboard was tapping out an SOS.
About 2 weeks ago, I turned off the ignition, and a clicking sound started under the dashboard. And it lasted about 20 seconds, and I turned the ignition back on, and it came back on again. I have a recording of it here that I can play for you. But that's the sound that it
got
makes.
It.
I got it, too. Remember that? There was a quiz show that used to be on when we were kids called Beat the Clock. Can we hear that one more time? Because I'm not so sure everyone heard it.
All right, let me see if I can turn it on again.
So do we beat the clock or what?
Well, we told Ralph that under the dash there were vacuum motors that moved ventilation doors and that one of these doors was stuck or loose.
Well, let's see how we did. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, look, before we find out what happened, we need to verify that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or the autographed photograph of Bud Collier that we sent to you, and the $20.
You guys are clean.
Oh, that's too bad. So anyway, what was it? The door?
Yes, it was kind of. It was the servo motor on the flap that covers that outside air intake for the air conditioning.
That's it.
Good job.
Really? Jeez.
That's what we thought it was.
We did?
What you didn't get was how much it cost to get it fixed.
Oh, yeah. How much was it?
$300.
Really?
Yeah, they said they had to take the dashboard off.
And
yeah.
Of course, if you hadn't fixed this thing, you would have cooked your air conditioner.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And my wife was afraid to get in the car because it was on her side, and she was afraid that, something might jump out and burn
her
or something like that.
Well, she was just using that as an excuse. What's her new excuse going to be? Anyway, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Ralph. You're a lot of fun.
Happy to do it. Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or if you can't wait, you can stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Adla in Boston.
What's your name?
Adla.
Adla.
Yeah.
So what's up? You live in Boston, our fair city.
I do. Actually, I just moved here from Minnesota.
Oh, you wanted to escape those harsh Minnesota winters, so you came here, right?
Yeah, good thinking.
Well, I had a harsh welcome.
What's up?
Well, I have a 96 Honda Civic, mm-hmm. and I got in my car to go to work as usual one morning, and the car wouldn't start. Open the hood, battery's gone.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Really?
How did they get my battery?
Yeah.
The car is locked.
The car is locked.
The hood is closed.
I don't know how they did it.
I know how they did it.
Because you must do this all the time.
I do it all the time. We it's not often, but once in a while we get cars that come into our shop where the hood release cable is broken.
Yeah.
That cable that runs from the handle inside your car.
Okay.
Runs through the firewall, and it runs to the latch, which is located in front of the radiator.
Okay.
And what they're doing is they're getting underneath the car and finding that cable.
Which usually, by the way, is not easy to find, and it's not easy to reach.
It's easier on some cars than others.
On a Honda Civic.
It's pretty easy on a Civic, actually.
Yeah. And on some cars, it's quite buried, and you'd have a hard time getting under there.
Right, those are the ones where we have to chisel a hole in the hood to get open.
Now,
right.
We're not disseminating this information to all the thieves.
Well, we are, but they knew it already. they knew that Honda Civics are probably a good target, and that's why tomorrow there will be a lot more battery thefts from Honda Civics.
If you want to thwart them, you can go out and buy yourself something like a
Rottweiler.
That would be one way.
A Z-lock, one of these locks that has a key that's an additional key that goes in. It's one of those cylindrical keys that you have to push in to lock. It goes under your dashboard, and it's a shielded cable, very thick cable, that goes to an additional lock that actually locks the hood shut.
So how much would that cost me?
Well, how much does a battery cost?
$50,
and this costs like $500. So what are the chances that 9 more batteries are going to be
When did this happen?
It happened a couple weeks ago.
I would be wary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you park your car in the same place?
That's why I'm calling.
My brother has to tell you the parable of the battery.
The parable of the 56 Chevy. you have to ask yourself, why would anybody want an old battery?
Right.
And the answer is, nobody really does. But they do know where to find a brand new one tomorrow.
They sure do.
So they steal your battery, and then they know you're going to go right to Sears and buy yourself a diehard, and that's the one they really want. If they were nice, they'd bring you back the other one.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. But they typically don't do that because their fingerprints are all over it.
I would
like not park in the same place.
Yeah.
For the next couple of weeks.
But you can
maybe
go to
a
place that does car alarms, and you can get one of those locks. I don't think it costs anywhere near $500.
Okay.
I was being facetious.
It's
probably a couple of $100, and it might be worth it if you're going to stay in Boston.
Don't worry about it. It's only a battery.
See you, Adler.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Tommy, I have a little riddle for you.
Yeah.
I was listening to Car Talk like hitting yourself over the head repeatedly with a transmission mount.
Simple. It feels good when you stop. And in that spirit, we're going to give our listeners a short break. But stay tuned because my brother is going to have the brand new puzzle when we come back in just a minute.
Gas it up. Rev up the V8. Pause it down at the corner. We're going to be out late. Gas it up. Check those tires. Gotta get rolling. try to put out the fire. The dirty snow is melted, the river's running high. Got to hit 100 a few times before I die. Gas it up, gas it up, rev up the V8.
And even though classical music listeners get ear cramps whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. You ready?
You are ramping up. Let me just get, this straight.
Well,
last week's was okay.
I'd like to think so.
Okay, go ahead.
It might be like the stock market. One day up, 4 days down.
Go ahead.
Imagine you have in front of you two cardboard cubes, okay? They can be any size, you know, that you want. And what do they call those things? A magic marker.
How big? Like
it doesn't
five
make
or six
it hardly
inches.
Makes a difference.
I have to you asked me to visualize it.
All right.
I'm saying that I got 6 inches on a side.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. 6 inches. So each face of the cube is 6 by 6.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's nothing on them. You're gonna put something on them with the magic marker. And what you'd like to do with these is use them to represent the date. For example, if today is the 3rd of the month, mm-hmm. the two cubes would be next to each other, and one would have a 0, and the other one would have a 3. If it were the 12th of the month, it would be a 1 and a 2. If it was the 22nd, it would be a 2 and a 2. So you're going to arrange these things. You got it? Kind of like magic cubes. So every day you come into work, and you're going to say, okay, today's the 25th, a 2 and a 5. Today's tomorrow's next week, it's going to be the 30th, okay, a 3 and a 0.
How are you going to do that?
That's the question. How are you going to do that? You got 6 sides on each cube.
Got it.
And with those 6 sides, you have to be able to represent every single date. So if it's the 3rd of the month, it has to be 03. You have to use both cubes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty obvious that both cubes need a 0.
Can I ask a question?
You may ask a question.
Do I have to use base 10?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, good. That's good.
I'm going to give a hint.
You are ramping up, man. Well, I'll wait until I hear the answer.
You may change your mind. I'm going to give a hint. Think outside the box. Just a hint. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a Wurlitzer ZM-104 jukebox with steel, oak, and precision-molded chrome-tone construction.
Yeah.
100-disc, 200-watt professional Philips CD system, 6 hidden tri-directional speakers, and preloaded with the complete Sleepy Le Beef Deluxe box set.
And send how are they going to get that up the stairs?
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Edward from Milton, Massachusetts.
How you doing?
Ed, what's happening?
Milton.
Can we call you Ed?
You can call me whatever you'd like.
All right.
We'll call you whatever you like, Edward.
I have a 1993 Nissan Altima. Mm-hmm. And back in April, it required a new distributor, which I had done at some $400 and some odd.
Mm-hmm.
And then come mid-June, it started stalling while I'd be on the highway. And I came to find out that it would start right back up again after a few minutes. So I brought it back to my mechanic, and he looked at it, and he said the distributor was bad, and he replaced it at no charge.
This is not a dealership.
No, just a neighborhood mechanic.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks later, I decide I'm safe to drive this car to Montreal, and it breaks down in Concord, New Hampshire, where I leave it with a dealer, and I rent a car, and I go on my merry way, and I call the dealer and find out what happened to my car, and he said, it's a bad distributor. So on the advice of my mechanic, I let him give me a replacement distributor, and I drive it up to Concord, New Hampshire, and have the dealer put it in, and all the way back from Concord, New Hampshire, it just does not feel right. It feels like it wants to stall, and I bring it back to my mechanic, and he takes it out and reinstalls it, and it seems okay for a week or so, after which it starts stalling again, and I bring it back to him, and he puts in, you guessed it, distributor number 3.
Where is he buying these distributors?
I'm from a distributor, right?
A distributor.
They are, as you know, as they call them, remanufactured.
Right.
Jeez. It ain't rocket science, but evidently it is.
Well, I can tell you a similar tale of woe/intrigue that happened to us recently with a distributor's distributor. And I forget that the car was a Geo of some kind, and we diagnosed it as being a bad distributor. We put a new one in. The customer takes her car, and 2 days later, thank God we were closed on the weekend. She must have been really ticked on Saturday, but she didn't get back to us until Monday.
On the main turnpike in her bathing suit.
Wet bathing suit. Monday morning, she's back there, man, and the distributor had conked out. But, of course, when we installed it, the car wouldn't run. We put the new distributor in. Boom, starts right up. We drive the car around the block a few times. I mean, what do you want? It's a good enough test drive. And what are you supposed to do? Drive it to Maine?
And your bathing suit.
And to make a long story short, we ended up putting three distributors in her car, too. And it may not be over.
Wow.
And so the lesson here is that rebuilt distributors aren't so hot sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, and I think what happens is the remanufacturers will do a whole run of distributors. In other words, they're not doing one at a time. They'll assemble, 500 used ones in a pile. And they say, okay, today's Wednesday. It's Nissan Distributor Day. All you boys and girls are going to rebuild the Nissan Distributor today.
Never done this before? Well, you're going to learn now.
so they buy a whole bunch of pickups and modules and all that from a supplier. They may all have been bad because they probably are shopping around for the cheap stuff. And so they rebuilt a whole bunch of them with the same faulty parts. And that explains, I think, why
the distributor had all the same ones.
He's got five of them on the shelf, but they were all done
the same day
with the same batch of faulty parts.
Yeah, I like it.
And that's why they're all failing. And they when they send them back, they say, oh, okay, because they know what happens. So I would bite the bullet, Eddie baby, and buy the new one.
Edward.
Excellent.
Good luck.
Well, thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye now.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gianna from Boulder Creek, California.
Hi, Gianna. What's up?
Hi. I have an Audi A4 2002, and I'm the original owner. It has about 74,000 miles, and it's making a humming noise near the rear end.
Oh.
And I notice it's stronger on the passenger side than on the driver's side.
Is when you're moving?
Yes. Well, actually, when the car's turned on.
Oh, and you're not moving.
Yeah, and it makes a high pitch, so it goes. Exactly. You've been in my car.
No, but I've been in lots of other cars that have the same noise, and it's your fuel pump.
Okay, yeah. Now my husband, that's what he had thought it was, too. And
yeah,
he said,
he's
I can
right.
go ahead and try this theory out by putting the key in the ignition and turning the ignition but not turning the car on. And he said if it was a fuel pump, that it would make that noise.
Only makes it for a couple of seconds.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I know. First of all, in order to energize the fuel pump, you must turn the key to the crank position.
Okay.
Okay, so if you turn it to crank, like you're going to start it, but if you just release the key and didn't let it start, for about 4 seconds, the pump will run until it figures out it's not getting a signal from the crank sensor.
Okay.
And when it's not getting a signal, it means the engine isn't running and the fuel pump relay shuts down.
So I'm taking to my mechanic tomorrow, so just expect that to be the problem?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're going to have to crack open the cookie jar, too, because this is going to cost hundreds.
Okay.
Yeah, this is many hundreds of dollars. But it's something you've got to do, because if you don't, you're going to get stuck someplace.
Well, I've solved it by not driving the car.
That, too. But if my brother owned this car, he would drive it for 3 more years like this. Just to give you some idea of how unlikely it is to fail immediately.
How longer can I drive it?
Don't even ask. Just fix it.
Yeah. Okay.
See you,
yeah.
Right.
Don't be
Thank
crazy
you.
Like my brother.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lynn from Lexington, South Carolina.
Oh, I thought you were from Lexington, Mass, our backyard.
There's a Lexington in South Carolina. Isn't that good?
Oh, there's Lexingtons all over the place. Yeah. So what's going on, Lynn?
My husband makes me drive old cars, and it's starting to cause some marital dispute.
How old?
Well, I have an 87 Ford truck.
Now, how old's your husband, I mean?
He's 108, though. An 88 Mercure and a 93 Passat wagon.
So what was the first one?
87 Ford pickup.
87 pickup. A Mercure what? Scorpio?
A Scorpio.
No kidding.
And a 93 Passat wagon.
You got three cars?
Mm-hmm.
What are you complaining about?
Because one's always broken, so you have to have three for both of us to get around. My question to you guys is, how do I break them so my husband can't repair it?
Well, geez, you're asking us to be sneaky and
exactly.
devious.
We love it.
Well, I was driving the Mercure. He calls that the mileage car because I have the longer commute, and I cross a lot of railroad tracks, so I've been jumping those pretty, you know, at a high rate of speed.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that would do it, but it didn't. He repaired the axles and the shocks. Still running.
So you would like to sell two of the two older ones and buy one good car.
We need to buy two cars.
Why?
So you want to get rid of all three of these?
Correct.
And buy three more?
No, two.
You only need two if they both work.
But you got a 93 Passat.
Well, the problem with that is no, it's all rusty, and the vinyl, when we moved down south here, started letting loose in the doors, so they like flap in the wind when you roll the window down.
Yeah, well, see, I don't think you're going to get him to sell all three of them, but if you can get him to sell two of them, and then let him drive the Passat.
Well, that's what he's doing now, but you're going to love this. Thursday, I ended up driving it, and all of a sudden the cabin filled up with steam, and there was all this fluid all over my brand-new Cole Haan shoes, and the heater core went.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, this is it. Good, it's dead. Well, now he gets on the Internet, finds out all these other people had these problems, and is trying to get the dealer to, or VW to, even though it wasn't in the recall, to fix it.
Right, right, right. They probably will. A bummer, huh?
Uh-huh.
but he keeps them all running, huh?
Uh-huh.
God bless him.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you're asking us to go against our nature here.
Well, one thing I thought, down here they grow oleander, and you can put it into tea, and it's poisonous. And I didn't know if I put it in the gas tank.
If it would kill the car.
Yeah. Jeez. If it have that effect.
But Lynn, I mean, it's kind of...
You see, we are practitioners of this drive old jalopies mentality. You know,
I think it's great to drive old cars.
How far do you drive a day?
60, 70 miles a day, round trip.
That's far.
Yes, you shouldn't be driving any old heaps like this.
I know.
Well, that's why I'm saying if you traded in two of them and bought one good one.
Right.
And keep the one of the three. Which one do you think is in the best shape?
Aesthetically, believe it or not, the Mercure.
Yeah, the Mercure. I don't think there's much future in keeping that
because
that's gonna be really as nice a car as it was.
Right.
That's gonna be impossible to get parts for.
Well, I know. Believe it or not, well, his brother has one, and he's brought him back from Philly from the junkyard.
So he's got a brother who's a nut. I know what that's all about.
I know, but we'll get rid of that one. We can't even donate.
So he's sort of going around the country finding them in junkyards so he'll have a supply of parts.
Think about this, Lynn.
It's keeping him out of trouble.
I know.
But this 60 or 70 miles you drive every day, is this for a job?
Correct.
So you have a paying job.
Well, and that's the thing. We have the money. There's no reason. He's cheap.
Ah, he's cheap.
Yeah, so you need
to. He's a man after my own heart.
God. Remember, you need to go to the credit union where
Benjamin
you work.
Benjamin Franklin, waste not, want not,
and drive a jalopy.
Well, right, and that's, I was looking at like the 525.
Of course.
Oh, now this explains everything. The 525. Come on, Lynn. We thought you were looking at like a Ford Focus.
Something to get into the 90s, right?
No, I mean, she's driving 60 miles a day.
Right.
You deserve to drive around in something nice.
Right. I mean, not new, but newer than, 88.
Sure. How about a 98 525?
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. What do they want for that thing?
Well, that's what the problem is. He's looking on eBay.
he'll find one there.
He's hopeless.
I know.
He is hopeless.
Oh, well.
I think you should just go buy one.
Well, a friend told me if I took a hypodermic needle and put it into the radiator hose, would that do it? And just drive it till it blows up or something?
God, you are deep. I'd hate to be on your bad side. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's up against it. I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah. Well, that hypodermic needle does work.
Okay.
See, I mean, you have to understand.
You didn't hear it here.
You have to understand that this is a thing. What your husband is doing is a thing that guys just have to do.
I know.
I think you shouldn't argue with that, and you shouldn't fight against it. But on the other hand, there's no reason that you should be subjected to it personally, although many of us do subject our wives to our own values and belief systems. And I think if you have a heart-to-heart and tell them that it's dangerous, you take a long ride every day, you're going to break down, and
you're going to poison them.
Suggest the idea of the cot in the garage. And that worked for me.
All right.
Good luck, Lynn. Boy, this is tough. I know, but you will prevail. I can tell.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've frittered away another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher Fenolosa. Our Blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the ice lip, steak tip, clam strip, cool whip, French dip, rose hip, mocha chip, licorice nip, burger flip and shake sip is John Bugsy Lawler. I couldn't do it on one breath. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge in Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our senior accountant from the Paris office is Count de Monet. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our in-law hospitality provider is Emil Endicott. Our employee terminator is Laura DeBoom. Our express oil change provider is Joaquin Walkout. Our backseat driver is Veronica Collision Course. Our auto seat tester is Fitz Matush. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Ujess.
Fitz Matush.
Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the blue-haired leaf peepers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1038, meander through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the 10 things we'd like to see on every new car.
Other than our own license plates, that is. This is a list of technological features, most already invented, but some not, that we think every car should have.
Such as what?
Well, blind spot monitors.
Oh.
Now, if I'd had one of those 25 years ago, I might have seen you trying to rope me into doing this show with you.
Different kind of blind spot.
I guess so. Check out the 10 things we'd like to see on every new car and tell us your own all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Evander Holyfield wishes Mike Tyson had bitten off the rest of his ear whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.